Well, welcome to our June 2017 update for our current events section of our website. Today is the Christian Pentecost, and we've just come through the end of what we call the counting of the Omer, which is a traditional Hebraic view of the days between the Passover of the time of the first fruits and the seven Sabbaths plus one day. And there's a link here if you are curious as to what the counting of the Omer means. It's informative to that respect. We also have this marvelous festival of Shavuot, Pentecost, Shavuot being the Hebrew pronunciation and definition. Pentecost, of course, is the Greek. It's one of the festivals that Yahweh commanded Israel to commemorate throughout all their generations, meaning always and forever in the season of its time. Significantly, it is the traditional understanding that Yahweh's giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai was 50 days after Israel was delivered from Egypt following the Passover. Likewise, the outpouring of the power from on high that Yeshua admonished the disciples to tarry at Jerusalem to receive, not many days hence, was to occur when the day of Pentecost had fully come, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. This fully come description most likely reflects the 50 days, to be exact. Yahweh does things on a precise timetable. If you will examine his work in the Torah, you will see a lot of things that are connected on the sevens and different kinds of numbers that mean things like the Jubilee, 50 years, and so forth. But immediately prior to Yeshua's ascension to heaven, here's the last thing that he told his faithful disciples to do. It says in Acts chapter 1, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, You have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." This was to be the divine energy force that all the believers could experience, not fully poured out on mankind heretofore. And Yeshua said to them, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now this was the very last thing that Yeshua was instructing his disciples to do. So it's of significance to note that if he had something important to say at that moment, would probably be the most important thing on his mind. So this was the instructions for the disciples. So the Holy Spirit is the third part of the forever stable and unmovable three-legged foundation that Yahweh had planned for his followers and before the foundation of the world. First, the word from the mountain that Yahweh spake to Moses and wrote on the tablets of stone, the eternal Torah. And then the Word in the flesh, Yeshua himself, as recorded in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Yeshua, the living Torah, the walking among us, to example the relationship that we should have with Yahweh. If you think about it, Yeshua was the Word in the beginning. And that Word, of course, God gave to Israel at Mount Sinai. And that same Word was the Word that manifests itself as Yeshua, the Son of Man, the Son of God. And there's nothing different about Yeshua the Word in the Torah and Yeshua the Man as the example of the Torah walking amongst the people in his time. And then the third part, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the divine being of Yahweh or Yeshua within us, within our hearts and in our minds, for the believer to be able to have that power, that divine energy. And So I think that if you look at this three-part foundation that God has given us, you will see that it's important that we incorporate all three of those functions and understandings into our faith and walking out our faith and understanding of the Word, not get bound up in religions and church philosophies or different kinds of opinions of men or traditions, but let us understand God's Word for what it says and what it means. Let us look at Yeshua, the Word that became flesh. What did He say? What did He do? What did He tell His disciples to do? What did Paul the Apostle tell us to do? And there's so many times we get so many different opinions, but if we'll let the Scriptures speak for themselves and interpret themselves, we'll have no part of misunderstanding. But God knew these things would happen. Men would ball all these things up and get them all mixed up, and even for intended malicious reasons, men would even do this. So God sent the Holy Spirit. This is what Pentecost is about. It's about the outpouring of God's own Spirit to be poured out into the hearts of men, and that men could have this energy of life, the Spirit of God within them. And because of that, He's the Spirit of truth, and He's the one who helps us understand what the Scriptures are saying. It gives us a power to respond to it positively and be in agreement with it, and that's so important. And finally, just another comment on Pentecost. It put a quote here from Nathan Lawrence, who's a highly respected Messianic fellowship leader. And I think if you'll read this, he talks about the harvest of souls and how God brought about this outpouring of His, what he calls, set-apart Spirit, or divine Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that we might be able to be the harvesters that Yeshua spoke of in the harvesting of souls in the earth. And this is a really, really good quote here. You might want to read this. And then if you want more information on it, there's a really good write-up on it at his website. There's a link there for it, Shavuot, Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. Very good reading. I hope you'll read it. Now, moving right along here on the topic of the end times and the prophetic issues for this month, there's a Christian movie out that talks about convergence. Imagine, if you will, a radial wheel with a center axle, with the spokes like on a wagon wheel running towards the center from the outer rim. All these things around us and out about us and in our history, all these things converging down to an important point. That's what this film is about. It's taking the events of the Bible and prophecy and things that are happening in our news around us and our world around us and saying, hey, is this the generation where all of this stuff is coming to pass? Is this stuff, this convergence of all these things, have any meaning biblically? Be a good movie to watch if you want to get some information on that. And there's also Skywatch TV has a link where you can watch some discussion on this by the movie makers. And I think you'll find it very interesting, but I hope you will consider looking at it and thinking about it, because a lot of times these things touch the hearts of people who aren't even believers, gets them to thinking about biblical things. And I think as Christians, as we believers, as we try to go forth and we try to be witnesses, sometimes whatever we use as we fish for men, sometimes it has to get their interest before they will take a look at it. And maybe this bait here, this movie, Convergence, would be their tasty bait that they might like to look at or make them curious, so that maybe the Holy Spirit can get their attention to looking at what God is saying instead of hearing the clamoring sounds of the world all around them. I put another link in here about ancient pagan symbols, how they're fitting into modern secular social behavior, how these things are coming together. The old things are becoming new again, and we see all of these things happening and picking up on these occult symbols and their activities. And it's not by accident. These people who are involved in the New World Order and the Dark Brotherhood of Darkness, they're involved in all this occultic stuff. And I think that this article here talking about some of this is important. And while I was studying it, I ran across a comment by a rabbi. He says this. He said it several years ago in a Wall Street Journal article, but it's worth repeating. He says, "A tsunami of wishful thinking has washed across the West, saying that you can have sex without the responsibility of marriage, children without the responsibility of parenthood, social order without the responsibility of citizenship, liberty without the responsibility of morality, and self-esteem without the responsibility of work and earned achievement." Wow, that's a mouthful of real insight. And what he's saying here is really that God has already made provision for all these things to be in a right order. We have really messed them up, and our wishful thinking, and so many minds of people today are corrupted with worldly Babylonian confusion and mystical, and even in the world of the youth, so much of the digital stuff and all of these things that they're involved in are just straight out of the old occult practices of Eastern religions and social things that go back to the Greek and Roman times of their corrupt ways and philosophies. And these things are having a real impact on our young people. And the world isn't the same world I grew up in when I was born 74 years ago. And I think it's heading in a direction that is going to be very difficult for people to make their way in if they don't figure out what God has told them that the right path is, because things can only go from bad to worse when you get that far separated from God's truth. Then there's an article here talking about what are the Jewish Hebrew roots. I myself has been involved in studying the Hebraic roots of my Christian faith for almost 15 years now, and it's really made a major change in my life. And I think that this particular website, this author's opinion, are insightful. I'm not saying they're exactly perhaps the way I view them, or maybe you would view them, but I think they're worth reading. There's three parts to it here, and I hope you will look at it, because we really do need to get back to understanding that our Christian faith comes from our Jewish Hebrew roots. And there's only one tree that God intends to be his tree, Israel, and that its roots are totally Hebraic. It's totally in the Torah. It's totally in the Messiah, who was 100% Jewish. And he was the one who came and told us that he was the vine and we're the branches. And if we're apart from that tree drawing our sustenance to him, we can do nothing. He meant, of course, nothing worthwhile to the kingdom or to be approved by God. So when we get back to studying and understanding the biblical roots of our faith, or they are our Hebraic roots, we come to learning things that are really important to us and strengthening our faith and blessing us in our lives and keeping us on the narrow path to the kingdom. And then there's another article here. It says, "What is the relationship between Eden and Jerusalem? Do you believe they are one and the same in different episodes of time, and that the new Jerusalem will be the return of the pre-fallen state of Eden?" I kind of think it might be. And this particular article is kind of interesting to that end. Now I'm doing here another update on the Islamic Muslim threat. And I'm making this statement here: is to defeat the Muslim war on the West, we can only win if we identify that the enemy is Islam. The teaching of the Quran's kill and destroy doctrines are taught in most mosques. If we do not call it what it is, we are doomed to perish in the folly. Otherwise, we allow the real enemy free passage to the heart and soul of America's foundational strength, which, by the way, the Islamic jihadists know and understand fully well. The included reference article this month is a must-read for all Western people who care about their future. The article below is an excellent information And down the page, it addresses the facts about the Manchester bomber. He was not a surprise. He and his family were CIA connected, namely to be used in the undoing of Libya, and the French and MI6 were fully informed on his doings. What are we to make of all this madness? In a nutshell, I think the global New World Order is doing all this smoke and mirrors exercise to break down our nationalism, liberty, and freedom. And the more chaos and confusion they can employ, the sooner they can obtain their objective of enslaving all the people of the world, just as the book of Revelation has foretold. It is really interesting that the multitudes of Muslims are fleeing France for shelter in England. They say they are protected there, and the state provides for their welfare. You can get arrested in many European countries for expressing your opposition to the multicultural paradigm the central planners are determined to defend with the present political household. Read the link below for better understanding the mind-numbing madness that has its tentacles wrapped around Europe and soon to be around America if we don't get a handle on it and turn it back while there's possibly still time. Now, closing on a positive note and a victorious note, I put a link here to the many names of God, which have wonderful promises to believers. You may want to review the link. I think one needs to remember the words of Paul the Apostle in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then, of course, one of the names of Yeshua is My High Tower. And that's important. And if you click on that link, there's a wonderful article there about Yeshua being our high tower. And I would like to close this discussion with the prayer that's on that page. It goes like this. Precious Lord, let me rest in the heights with you every moment. Even as I live and work in this fallen world, be to me a tower of deliverance from all the enemies of your kingdom. Fear, anger, anything that is out of harmony with your life in me. Let me see all people and things, not from my own limited earthly perspective, but from your high vantage point. Then by your grace, I can lead others to your safety, strength. Thank you, my Lord, my strength, and my high tower. Now for the Aaronic blessing in Numbers 6, 24 and 26. Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Shalom.